November 2022, and the title of today's teaching is The Word of God is Living and Powerful. Remember last week we looked at the Word of God and how in the parable of the sower, Jesus used a farming metaphor and likened the Word of God to a seed that needs to be sowed into good ground or a good heart in order to bear fruit in our lives. We therefore learned how important the Word of God is, and I want to continue on the subject of the Word of God. But today I want to show you how powerful the Word of God and God is. And today it is in relation to what it can do for our own hearts. So it's more of an inward look. The verse that we're looking at is Hebrews 4 verse 12, and it reads as follows. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In this verse, quick means alive or living. And energous, which is the word that is used for powerful, means active or operative. Think about that. The Word of God is described as alive or living, and active or operative. The NIV translations reads, for the Word of God is living and active. And in the Strong's Concordance, the word sharper comes from a word called tomateris, which means to cut more comprehensively or decisively, as if by a single stroke, rather than implying repeated blows like hacking. In other words, it's more keen. And so this word is stressing the ability of God's word to cut through the hardest heart in a single stroke. And I'm going to go through a bit more detail about what this verse actually means, because for many years I didn't understand it. But for now, I'm wanting to just hone in and focus on the metaphor that they're making use of here for the word of God. And we see that they make use of a metaphor for the sword, and that it is described as being sharper than any two-edged sword. Now listen to these interesting facts about a two-edged sword. It was a later invention of sword that was used by the Roman army, and it was called a machaira. And until its invention, the most common sword in use was a barbarian sword. And think with me, the barbarians are a big nation, and so the swords were big, they were huge, they were heavy, and they were carried across the shoulders. And so it was quite a cumbersome weapon, and when it was in use and when it was swung, it often took the soldier off balance. In fact, when it was swung, if the target was missed, the other opponent was able to swoop in and stab them. But it didn't take away from the fact that the people feared the barbarian sword because of its size and visibility. I want to make mention of two other weapons in that time. The other was a dagger, which was small and could be hidden. It could be carried on a person quite discreetly. They were also used for ornamental purposes or in ceremony, or for special occasions. And then there was a rapier, which was another weapon, and that was a long, thin sword which was used in sword fights. Now for the machaira. The machaira was 18 inches long with a small handle, making it lightweight and easier to handle. They were also less likely to be thrown off balance when they were using it. It was a short sword which was used for defense, but mainly for attack. And that was in close personal encounters and close hand-to-hand combat. It had a sharp tip, with both sides of the blade were sharp, which meant that it could be used both ways. It could cut both ways. And interestingly enough, it actually had multiple uses. So apart from the fact that they used it in war, they also used it for everyday use. But in war context, it was able to cut and thrust. So in other words, it was able to cut as well as stab, because the blade was firm and strong, as opposed to the long swords, which could only cut. And then probably the most interesting part of all is that it was carried in a whetstone sheath that would sharpen the blade whenever it was put in or taken out. I would imagine that when the Roman armies first whipped them out, that their opponents would have laughed at them until they realized how accurate and effective they were. But don't you just love the detail in the Bible? Think about it. The Word of God was not compared to one of those big, magnificent swords that would throw them off balance and leave them vulnerable to attack. It was also not likened to a decorative sword or a dagger that would have just been kept for special occasions. But rather, the word of God was likened to an effective, accurate, and efficient sword. One that could be used by everybody. One that could be used for multiple uses every day in any context. And one that, when it was used, was sharpened. And so too, every time we make use of the word of God, it sharpens and becomes a lot more effective in our lives. This just shows us that the word of God was never meant to be complicated. And it was never meant for just a select few. It really was meant for us all to use every day. And this just shows us how powerful it is. Remember last week I spoke about the Bible on our coffee table not being as important as the Bible in our hearts. So I said earlier that last week we looked at how sowing the word of God into our hearts was given to us for strength. But now I want to look at what it does to our own hearts inwardly. And the Bible, the word of God, is the only way to properly diagnose our heart condition. And that is what this verse is speaking about. If you look at the sword, and this is the two-edged sword, it's said to separate joints and marrow. They're probably referring to tendons and ligaments and other meaty parts. I don't know if you've ever been very involved in cutting meat, but there's certain knives that can do it so much more effectively. And so these tissues that they speak of here are hidden away, and they're hard to reach. And in actual fact, very often when you are cutting something like that, they're indistinguishable. You can't see which is which. And so a sharp blade, such as a Makaira, was able to uncover and separate those things. So too, the word of God can separate spiritual things that to us can also seem indistinguishable. So think about it, the difference between soul and spirit. It's not literal, but it's a graphic explanation of how completely God's word can distinguish between what is godly and what is ungodly. So to us, the soul and spirit seems indistinguishable, but the word of God can discern between both of those things. And so this incredible cutting power of the scripture is actually a tool for us so that we can separate our thoughts into good and evil. And so just in layman terms, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And remember I mentioned earlier, it looks at the actual condition of our heart. And so the more we study the word of God, the more it helps us discern exactly what is going on in our hearts. It exposes wrong thoughts and wrong intentions, which to our naked eye would look perfectly good. And so in actual fact, it helps us align more to God's heart, and it makes us able to discern where we are going wrong. And so that's just to show you how powerful the word of God is in being able to separate that for us so that we can know exactly what we need to do. This has been Teresa from Sojourn Retreat. I will be chatting to you again next week. I hope you have a blessed week. Goodbye.